All right, some of you came back, praise the Lord. And I had a good cup of coffee, so maybe I'll be awake. I'm going to watch and see if you are, okay? Take your Bibles and turn to John 15, verse 11. John 15, praise the Lord for the gentleman that got saved this morning. I think he had maybe four children with him. And so let's be praying that they all come to Christ in God's time. John 15:11. We're instructed, and this is just going to be the one verse. And then I want to preach on how to have the fullness of joy. The fullness of joy. I know a lot of Christians, quote, close quote, that do not have the fullness of joy. And I think that's a sad thing because God said that we should have. Now, what did he say? John 15, verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. My joy, the joy of the Lord, might remain in you, and that your joy might be one-fourth, one-half, two-thirds, might be full. And so God wants us to have full joy. Everyone wants joy, I think, but we need fullness of joy. That's a step further. That's deeper than just joy. We need to have joy. A woman lost her keys, and she went back in the house. She went through the chest of drawers and went in the kitchen, went through this drawer and that drawer, and looking by the bed and all of that. And she was trying to find her keys. She couldn't find the keys to her car. So all of a sudden, it dawned on her. She had her purse with her, and she had the keys with her all the time. You know what's wrong with a lot of people? They're looking for joy in the wrong places. We need to look for joy in the place where God told us. And the reason many do not have the joy of the Lord is they're looking in the wrong place. I believe that saved people ought to be joyful people. Amen? I don't think you got to go around smiling like you're up to something all the time. You know, like, people like that make me nervous. If they're just constantly doing that kind of thing. But there ought to be the realization of the joy of the Lord. The saved should have it. That kind of joy is very careful. That kind of joy is contagious. That kind of joy is conspicuous. People recognize it. And it should be continual, according to the Bible. The joy of the Lord. Now, some have peace, and that's good. You get saved, you ought to have peace, right? When you get born again, you have peace. But H.A. Ironside said this, joy is more than peace. It is peace bubbling up. We have the peace, but I know a lot of people who know their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but they look like they've been to a dill pickle factory and tested all the dill pickles. And that's not the way we ought to be. We should show the joy of the Lord in various and different ways. And I think it's sort of like measles. If you got them, it's going to come out on you. Some have peace, but joy is more than just peace. So, why is joy so important? Why is it important to have joy? God said, have joy. I want you to have joy, full joy. Why is it important? Number one, I think joy is important because God uses it in winning the lost to Christ. You see, if people see my life and your life, and we're negative and grumblers and we're always unhappy about things, and nothing's ever good. Some of you wives are punching your husband right now, but you know. But it might be my wife punching me, or vice versa. And you know, just never see anything very joyful or very good. But the best advertisement, I believe, for Christianity is a joyful Christian. Why would a person that's lost want what some Christians don't have? And that is the joy of the Lord. I mean, they look at their lives and they say, man, they look miserable. They act miserable. They're never really happy. Everything's negative. Everything's wrong. And they're just never satisfied much. Maybe just a few things, but not a lot of things. You know what happened to David? He lost his joy, didn't he? You know, a lot of times the reason we lose our joy is sin. Amen? That's why some people lose their joy. I've counseled people who I watched, and I watched them for a good while, and I noticed their joy left. And then the next thing you know, they're calling me, and they're in my office, pastored 50 years, and I found out why they didn't have the joy of the Lord anymore. Things changed. A lot of times it was because of sin. David said in Psalm 51:12, "Restore unto me thy salvation." No, that's not what he said. What did he pray? "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." David didn't earn it anyway. It wasn't his anyway. It was one God gave him. And he said, "I've lost the joy. Restore unto me, Lord, the joy of thy salvation. You're the one that gave it to me." And so when he talked about it in Psalm 51:12, he went on to say, "Uphold me with thy free spirit." And then, in other words, joy is back. Get me the joy back, God, and then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. David said, I need the joy back. When I get the joy, then I will be a person that can be used of you again to cause people to turn to thee. I'm glad God is a merciful God, aren't you? I'm glad he forgives us if we mean business and we make it right, and he can restore the joy of the Lord. And unless you're a joyful Christian, I can tell you this, you probably won't ever be an effective soul winner. You won't be an effective soul winner. People who have the joy of the Lord, it's amazing how people just sort of migrate toward them. They see their happiness, they see their joy, they see the joy of the Lord in their life, and that helps those people, and they'll say, "I like that." Now, some Christians I know carry a Bible under one arm and then they carry a tombstone under the other one. That's not what we should do. We ought to have the joy of the Lord. Joy is essential in bearing life's burdens also. We have burdens. I mentioned some of that this morning. I have burdens. You have burdens. Everybody in here probably has some kind of burdens today, if you're honest about it. So we have burdens, but joy is essential in bearing life's burdens. I need strength. Where am I going to get that strength from? Well, I'm going to get it from the Lord, and you need strength. Nehemiah 8:10, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." If you need some strength, you can get a lot of that from having a joyful heart. The joy of the Lord. Joy energizes you. You find me a Christian that has the joy of the Lord, and I'll find an energetic Christian who really wants to serve God and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the need of joy because of the heartaches and trials of life. We were talking there with the snacks a while ago about some situations which are very terrible. The situations, suicide, heartaches, different problems, trials of life. All of us have those trials, but we can overcome them. We overcome them in the Lord, the trials of life. The pastor said that joy is the lubricant of life. Joy is the oil, the lubricant of life. Joy is important. Do you have the joy of the Lord? And then the joy that Jesus gives. In verse 11 again. You know when he's saying this, what the setting is? You remember what the setting is? He's getting ready to go to the cross. He's getting ready to go to the cross and be crucified for us. And he's talking about the joy of the Lord. That's what he's saying there. And he's telling you and me, look, I'm going to the cross and you can have joy. I have the joy of the Lord and you can have joy too. So he said, have joy like this. 11, first part, "These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you." My joy. So there it is. This is what he wants us to have. What is this joy? Well, according to the Bible, it's abounding joy. It's abounding joy. In the text, in the latter part of that same verse, he says, And that your joy might be what, class? Full. Full. Full of joy. That your joy might be full. Gladness and having the anointing of the Spirit of God being full in us. Hebrews 1:9 says, anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. That's talking about Jesus. Gladness, that's another word for joy. Having the joy of the Lord, the gladness of God. In Jude 1:24, when he presents us before the Father, Jesus said, I will be exceeding joyful. I will have exceeding joy because he was in what he was doing. Jesus didn't do anything half-hearted, did he? Jesus had some rough times, and of course he was crucified, but Jesus didn't go around morbid and down in the dumps and crying for everybody to help him because he was being mistreated, and he wasn't filled with self-pity, was he? Jesus said, I know why I'm here. I came to suffer and to die and pay for your sin debt. But even little children loved Jesus, didn't they? I always like a picture of Jesus sitting there and the little children sitting on his lap. To me, that's one of the most beautiful things in the world. These little kids that came up here and took that $2,000 worth of offering a while ago, and the joy, and it was just beautiful to see little children participating. Jesus was that way. He was not morbid. He was not unapproachable. I've been around some people that are unapproachable. Have you? Maybe your boss is that way. And you try to go talk to them, and man, you're wasting your time. They're unapproachable. You're in the military. Some military guys above rank, they're unapproachable, but not the Lord Jesus Christ. He was never a sourpuss. You think Jesus was a sourpuss? I believe he had a sweet countenance about him everywhere he went. I really do, no matter what he was facing. And he said that, John 13:17, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. That they may have my joy fulfilled in them. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord how often? Always. Always. Even if it's raining, right? Always. And again, I say rejoice. He just reminds us, rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. The only way is in His strength. That's the only way we can do it. Now, there's a difference in happiness and joy. There is a difference in happiness and joy. Happiness can put a smile on your face. And that's good. That's fine. That helps in the long run. It'll put a smile on your face. You'll look better if you learn to smile a little bit and all of that. And it won't break your face. I mean, it really won't. But not always, as I said earlier, not always a goony grin, but to have the joy of the Lord, happiness depends on what? What happens? Happiness, happenstance, whatever's happening, that's what it depends on, happiness. But joy depends on not your circumstances, but on the Lord. Happiness, one thing, joy depends on the Lord. That's why he said, rejoice in the Lord, always rejoice in the Lord. Happiness is like a thermometer. A thermometer just registers the conditions in the room, right? But a thermostat controls the conditions. And my wife and I, she'll turn it down, and I say, it's a little warm in here, or turn it up, and I say, it's a little warm in here, and I go turn it down. She'll say, oh, it's a little cool in here, But one of us is trying to have control. I wait till she goes to sleep, then I go turn it down, see. So, then when she's pulling the cover up, I know why. But anyway, joy is inward. Happiness is outward. Joy is, it comes down in here. It's your relationship with the Lord. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Number two, it is abiding joy. Look what he says. Back in this one verse, let's bleed it for all that's in there. He said, these things are written unto you that my joy might, what's the next word? Remain in you. I want my joy to remain in you, to be there. In other words, your joy shouldn't come and go. We're too controlled by circumstances. No, Your joy should not come and go. It doesn't come and go. Good times, I'm joyful. Bad times, I'm not joyful. Daytime, pretty day, I'm joyful. Rainy day, cold weather, I'm gloomy, I'm not joyful. Daytime, and times of joy, when things, you know, when you Baptists win the lottery and you're just so thrilled about it. You wouldn't do that, would you? Some of you would. But anyway, you say, I'm so happy. I've got all this money. I just got a raise and all of that. And we're happy about all those things. But whenever things go the other way, tragedy, you say, well, preacher, you don't know my problems. I probably don't know your problems. You don't know mine either. But I can tell you this. I know that Jesus said when he was facing Calvary, what problem could be greater than that? When he was facing Calvary, Jesus said that you're to have joy, and he had joy. And we're to be steadfast in that joy. Be steadfast in the joy that God wants us to have. Steadfast in sorrow. We all have sorrow. John 16:20, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. How's that? How can that happen? Well, it happens through Jesus. Your sorrow can be turned into joy. It's triumphant, being triumphant during the midst of tribulation. You'll have tribulation. Paul had tribulation. Be sure he did. 2 Corinthians 7:4. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. He said, I have the joy of the Lord, even though they're throwing me in prison, even though they're beating me, even though they're running me out of town, even though they don't like what I'm saying. And here he is in prison at midnight, and what are they doing? They're singing, we don't know what they were singing, but let's say Amazing Grace. You know, they're in prison, and yet they're singing. They've been beaten, they've been mistreated, and all of that, they've been lied on, and they are singing praises to the Lord. I'll tell you, that takes a relationship with God in order to do that. This joy is a joy that is lasting even in losses that we have. When we have losses, Hebrews 10:34, and you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. They got your stuff and left with it, and you didn't let it upset you. If somebody comes in and steals one of your antiques or one of those prize things you have, I have an old 1956 Cushman scooter that I bought years ago at Sears and Roebuck, between here and Grand Prairie. And I paid $185 for it. My uncle that founded this church had to co-sign for me. And I've got it in my garage right now. And they tell me it's worth $4,000 or $5,000. I don't know. And it's all painted up and looks good. And I ride it up and down the street once in a while. If somebody came and took that away, would I still have the joy of the Lord? I believe I would. It's just a piece of metal. Now, let me tell you a story that really happened. I was preaching a revival. You may not want me back after this, but I was preaching a revival for a preacher in Salem, Virginia, right outside of Roanoke, Virginia. And so we got through, and it was a cool night, and he said, let's go get some chili. There's a place down here, a little place. I said, man, it sounds good to me. And so we went down there, and we were eating chili, and man, it was good. And all of a sudden, the phone rang. He answered it. He said, what? I looked at him. He said, you're kidding. Really? I thought, what in the world has happened? While I was preaching, this is honest truth, somebody went to their house, stole every bit of the furniture and everything in that house, and loaded it up in a U-Haul and took off with it. And the neighbor said, well, we thought maybe y'all were moving or something. We didn't know what was going on. They left with all of his stuff. Did he have the joy of the Lord? Well, I didn't follow him around after that, but he did there. He just said, well, it was God's anyway, and you know, how would you feel if somebody went to your house while I was preaching? Dear Lord, please don't let it happen. They'll never have me back and stole everything you had and left with it. That really happened, true story. But he kept on preaching and serving the Lord. If you do, I'll tell you, if losing something like that, think of anything you have, keeps you from having the joy of the Lord, whatever it is, it's in the wrong place in your life. The joy is always abundant in affliction. And I've got to hurry. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, you have received the word in much affliction. Watch this. With joy of the Holy Ghost. Where do we get that joy? The Holy Ghost helps us. You do believe the Holy Ghost lives in you, don't you? And the Holy Ghost will give you the power in the midst of trials and troubles to have the joy of the Lord. Sickness and pain. Some of you right now are in pain. You're saying, I sure hope he doesn't preach too long because my pain's hurting me right now. And some of you took 2 or 3 ibuprofen, 2, I hope, not over that, before you got here to church. You have pain, you have problems, we have sickness, we have trouble. But this is the joy of the Lord that he gives us during those things. So why is it important? And the joy that Jesus gives. And very quickly, the recipe for joy. Verse 11, again, go back. That verse is saturated with good things. And notice what he said in the first part. These things have I spoken unto you. He said, now, I just spoken something to you so that your joy would be full. Well, what did he speak to them about? What was he talking to them about? Well, he was talking, you read before that, about the vine and the branches. And the branches, he said, if you abide, if we abide in the vine, then we'll have joy. It's all in there. And he mentioned that. That's what he was telling them. So what does it mean to abide? He said, if you abide in me, you'll have joy. What does it mean to abide? I think the first word that comes to my mind is the word surrender. We're abiding, so we surrender to God. John 15:5. For without me, you can do nothing. That is of eternal value. You can do nothing without me. You're the branch, and he's the vine. Jesus is the vine. The branch, what does the branch do to the vine? Makes full surrender to that vine. It's dependent on that vine. The branch makes that surrender to the vine. And the branch exists, why? For one reason primarily, is for the vine. We are the branches. He's the vine. And we exist to bear fruit because we're in the vine. Have you ever made a full surrender? That's what this is. That's exactly what he's talking about. For without me, you can do nothing. We have to surrender. The branches have to surrender to the vine. Have you ever made a full surrender? Have you? Are you sure? F.B. Meyer was watching a young man who was preaching, and he was so thrilled with that man's exuberance and joy and the demeanor that he had, he just thought, I just don't have that. F.B. Meyer was a great preacher of yesteryears and a great, great theologian and all. And he said to the young man, sir, can you tell me how to have the joy that you have? F.B. Meyer said, it seems that you have something that I do not have. Can you tell me how? And the young man said, have you surrendered everything to Jesus Christ? F.B. Meyer said, well, and this sounds Baptistic. In a general way, I have. Doesn't that sound very Baptistic? In a general way, I have surrendered everything. The young man said, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. Go alone, get alone tonight, and get it settled. He was younger than F.B. Meyer. Meyer went to the bedroom. He locked the door of that bedroom. He got on his knees. And he prayed this prayer, Lord, I'm going to get this settled tonight. It seemed like I had a big bunch of keys, he said. I held them up to the Lord, it seemed like it, and said, Lord, here are the keys to my life. Take them. And the Lord said to him through the Holy Spirit, are they all there? All the keys, are they all there? And Meyer said, well, Lord, they're all there except for one. There's just one I'm hanging on to, like a lot of Christians, hanging on to a little sin. They call it a little sin, no such thing. So I have kept that back. And he said, the Lord smote me in my spirit. And the Lord said, you must give me that key. And F.B. Meyer said, Lord, I don't have the strength to give you this last key, but Lord, would you take it? He said, the Lord opened his fingers This is all what he's experiencing in that room. The Lord opened his fingers and got that little key and went to a cupboard and opened it. And inside was vileness, wickedness, and sin. You know, in a lot of our lives, some of that's there. You got somebody you can't stand, you're bitter at them, you're jealous, you're envious, you're full of pride, and all of those kinds of things. He saw this, he said, I looked as it were, in other words, and inside was vileness and wickedness and sin. F.B. Meyer had not realized the importance of what he was holding back from the Lord. Friend, you should not hold anything back from the Lord. He turned from that sin and he said, that night, the desire for that sin died in my heart. In other words, he gave it to God. He said, I went to sleep expecting to wake up in the morning with hallelujahs and praises. But Meyer said, no, instead I just had a quiet confidence. And I found myself all day long saying, I am His. I am His. I am His. I am completely His. That's a life of surrender. And that's what we need. So the word abide is there. And when he's talking about abiding, that's a life of dependence on Him. Without me, he said, you could do nothing. You say, I can do a little. But what can a branch do that is separated from God without the vine? Nothing, really. We have to abide in Him. Rest, verse 9, is what he's talking about. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. Continue in it. Keep it going. Abide. Rest in it. He loves you, and you should love Him. And we should abide with that joy of the Lord. You're the object of His love. Abide in obedience. In verse 10, he says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Are you keeping God's commandments? Are we keeping them? We're not abiding in His love if we're not keeping His commandments. And so he makes that clear, makes it exactly clear. John 14, 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. How does he manifest himself to us, to the person he's talking about? Through joy. He's made that clear. We have deep-seated joy. Not just happiness, but joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. So we come back full circle to that verse. These things have I spoken unto you, verse 11, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I have it for you. It ought to be with you all the time. And it ought to be full joy, not just half joy. Now, if you're not saved, you'll never have the joy of the Lord. I'm glad this man came today and he released it. I think he has the joy of the Lord now. He got saved. He got born again. You remember when you got saved? Was it a joyful occasion for you? I don't know where you were. I know where I was. 9-year-old, little country church on a Sunday night revival. And boy, the Holy Spirit took me to the aisle right down front, and I got saved. And I remember on Monday when I went to elementary school, I had the joy of the Lord. I really did, the joy deep down in my soul. And you can't go to heaven, can't have the joy of the Lord without being saved. But Christians, most of you are Christians, no doubt. And so I'm saying, you can go to heaven, but you can also go to heaven second class. You know, if we're all wealthy enough, we'd fly first class all the time, wouldn't we? Probably. We'd like that. They'd pamper you and give you something good to eat, besides a little bag of peanuts and pretzels. We like first class. You can go to heaven second class, miserable, just worrying, fretting, what's going to happen tomorrow, worrying about the future. Or you can have the joy of the Lord deep down in your soul, and you can go to heaven first class. And that's the way we ought to want to go. Pray and publicly let people know that we have the joy of the Lord. And the faith that will not lead to confession will not lead to heaven. You need to be saved. And then, folks, we need to have the joy of the Lord. We really do. No matter what you're going through today, no matter what your experience is, at the college, at home, where you work, or wherever it may be, the nursing home, whatever it may be, have the joy of the Lord. I remember a gentleman, I'm closing now, the gentleman that used to be part-time on our staff, and he was such a precious gentleman. He had pastored some years, and then he was gray-headed and all. He went into a nursing home. His wife passed away, and he had to go to a nursing home, a different place. And I never will forget, his name was Mr. Bufford. Some of you may have known him. He was working for us there at Worth Baptist Church. And I would watch him. He had on bib overalls. He's a country guy. And I said, "Well, Brother Bufford, what do you do around here? What do you do? He always was happy. He always had the joy of the Lord. He said, "I just go from room to room and place to place and tell people about Jesus. I just go from room to room and I tell them I win some of these people to Christ." And you could just tell he just had the joy of the Lord. Isn't that what God wants for us? Do you really have it today? If not, whatever it takes to have the joy of the Lord. You're not going to have it if you're hiding some sin. You're not going to do it. The joy of the Lord. Get rid of that anger. Get rid of that bitterness. Get rid of that pride. Get rid of that jealousy. Get rid of all of those things in our lives. Materialism. My soul. Materialism will let you down. Yet we emphasize to our children and all, that's the greatest thing in the world. No, it isn't. The greatest thing in the world is to be saved and live for Jesus Christ. But we emphasize all the other. I'm for education and all of that. I got a little bit myself one time. But anyway, we need to know that the joy comes through Jesus, knowing Jesus and surrendering fully to Him. And not that we're never going to sin again, but surrendering. And the moment we know we're failing, we will get it right. We want the joy of the Lord restored. We just can't do anything else. We've got to go and talk to that person and tell them that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer, we know that one of the greatest advertisements for the Christian life is having a deep-seated joy of the Lord. And that's what you want us to have. And Lord, sometimes we're looking for it in all of the wrong places, like that woman. And it's right there available to us all the time. And I pray that you would help us to be jubilant, joyful Christians. Not always happy maybe about everything, but to have a sweet, settled joy in our hearts. And to know that you're in charge, you're sovereign, you're holy, and you'll use it all, whatever it is, for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray.